We've got some stuff up here. So grateful for Sunday mornings and the opportunity to gather together as a church family. If we haven't met, let me introduce myself. My name's Steve, and I'm one of the pastors here at Champion Forest, and I grew up right around here in this area. I went to Earhart Elementary School. Anybody else? Yeah, there we go. Two of us. I love it. Good. Dory Middle School. Any Dory Warriors in here? There we go. Brooke was the mascot at Dory, actually, back in her day, not too long ago, or maybe a long time, I don't know. Right? Then I went to Klein High School. Any Bearcats? Right? A few of us, right? So I grew up right here in this area, and while growing up in this area, my parents had me plugged into this church. And so I've been a part of this church for a really long time, and I grew up here, and I trusted Christ at a young age. I was 13 years old when I gave my life to Christ, and from then on, my parents and my pastors and my teachers, right, everyone that was pouring into me, investing in me, was telling me and encouraging me and reminding me that the gospel, the good news of Jesus that changed me, that it shouldn't stop with me, right? That it should flow through me, through my life, into the lives of the people around me. And as it flowed through me into the lives of the people around me, that it would bring life to other people as well. I'm going to try not to make a mess up here or spill this on myself. If I do, forgive me. But just sort of think through this analogy, right? The gospel is right here, and it's supposed to flow through us to bring life to the people around us, right? So as the gospel comes in, it makes other things alive as it flows through me. That's what people have taught me my whole life, that it should flow through me to make an impact on the people around me. I want to confess something to you real quick. There have been many points in my life, and specifically at a time in high school that I can remember, where that wasn't the case for me, where the gospel wasn't flowing through me and making an impact on the people around me the way that God designed it. And the way that God set it up. My life looked a little bit more like this, right? I was a follower of Jesus, right? A believer, but nothing was flowing through me, right? It was trapped. It was stuck. And the people around me, right? The gospel wasn't flowing through me, making an impact on anybody else. It stayed with me. And as I think about those times in my life, I can think very specifically about one guy. And God always brings him back to the front of my mind as I think through things like this. There was a guy that I was really good friends with in high school. And I won't say his name, but we were really close. We played football together. We played similar positions. We had to work together a lot. We were in a lot of the same classes. We did our group projects together. I sat at the lunch table with this guy for 3 years of my life in high school. And not once did I tell him how God had saved me. Not once did I tell him about the difference that Jesus had made in my heart and in my life. Not once did I invite him to be a part of all the incredible things that were going on right here at our church. The gospel wasn't flowing through me the way that it was supposed to. I haven't seen him since the day we graduated high school. God's brought him to my mind and to my heart often. And I've thought about him often. I've looked for him over the years constantly on social media. And he's like the only guy in the world today that has no online presence, right? I can't find him anywhere. But I've searched for him and I've looked for him because I know that he was a person that God brought into my life to share the gospel with. He was a person that God brought close to me, that gave me favor with, a person that trusted me, that God placed in my life. He was my one that was there for me. To invest in, to allow the gospel to not stop with me, but flow through me into his heart and in his life as well. And as I share a little bit about my story and about someone that God's brought into my life, I'm hoping and I'm praying that right now you're beginning to think of people in your life as well. Right? Not people from your past, from 10 years ago or 20 years ago, but I hope that you're thinking of people that God's placed in your heart and in your life right now. Friends, coworkers, neighbors, family members, whoever it is that God has around you. And as you're thinking of those people, I'm going to ask us a question. And it's a big question. And it's one that I want us to think about often, right, these next several days and weeks. And the question is simply this. Who's your one? Right? Who's your one? I'm going to explain what it means, but think about it. Who's your one? Who's the person that God's placed in your life? Right here, right now. Where you have the opportunity to specifically and intentionally invest in them to share the love of Jesus. If you walked in this morning, you picked up a worship folder, you saw the front of it, it said, "Who's Your One?" The graphic's been on the screen for a little while. We're kicking off a series today, and if you can't tell what the title of the series is, "Who's Your One?" Because we want to encourage all of us to be thinking and dreaming and praying about the people that God has placed in our life, right? Our goal for this series, I'll tell you up front as we look these next several weeks, our goal is for every single person in this room, right? Every single one of us that's a member of our church, that's a follower of Jesus Christ, to identify one person that God's placed in our life, one person that's unchurched or maybe that doesn't know Jesus, that we can invest in, that we can pray for, that we can work to build a relationship with, to share the gospel with, and see them place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, right? Imagine if all of us were able to do that. I mean, think about the people that would come to know Jesus in this next week, these next few months, this next year. If everyone in this room, thousands of us, were able to identify and lock in and just have that one person on our heart where we build a relationship with the hope and prayer that they would come to know Jesus Christ. Right? There's millions of people in our city that don't know Christ. There's also a lot of Christians in our city. And I think that a lot of times we're not sharing the gospel constantly because it's not on our minds and we're not thinking about that person that God's brought there. So our hope and prayer through this series is that we would have that one person in our hearts and in our minds. And I'm praying, and I hope that you'll join me too, that this will sink in and this will penetrate the hearts of the people in our church and that we'll be motivated to go out of here and do what God's called us to do. And because of that, we'll see so many come to know Christ. In your worship folder today, there was a bookmark. I want you to go ahead and grab it out for me, right? Don't write on it yet. We're not going to do anything with it. I just want to make sure that we've got it. And you can open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, and you can set that bookmark there. And as you do it, you'll see there's a place where you can write down the name of your one. Don't do it yet. You haven't had time to think about it. You haven't had time to pray about it. I'm just sort of setting it up so that we know that it's coming close to the end of our message. Put the bookmark there in Acts chapter 1, and we're going to dive into God's Word after we go to the Lord in prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, and we are so thankful for the way that you love us. God, I want to specifically thank right now, God, the people in my life that taught me about you. God, I want to thank you for the people that invested in me, that poured in me, that helped me to draw close to you, God. And I thank you for everyone that did that for every single one of us that's in this room, Father. And God, I pray that as we lean into your word, as we look ahead at your word the next several weeks, Father, God, I pray that each and every one of us, God, would be committed to doing that for the people in our lives as well. God, I pray that you would put that passion, that sense of urgency in our hearts, in our minds. God, that you would help us to lock in on the people that you've placed in our life. God, we pray that we would see them place their faith and trust in you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Last week, we looked at the resurrection, right? And the proof of and the evidence of the resurrection. And Mark Lanier spoke and did a phenomenal job, and it was so good. And Mark and Becky were generous enough to give out a book to everyone that was here this past week. If you picked up Mark's book, I want to ask you to do something with it. Read it, right? Read it. There's so much good stuff in there that will help us as we engage other people with the truth of the gospel. So read that book, lock into it. It's good stuff. But we know that after the resurrection, Jesus was still around for 40 days on earth. He appeared to many eyewitnesses, over 500. And at the beginning of the book of Acts, go ahead and open up to chapter 1. You've got that bookmark there. At the beginning of the book of Acts, we're going to see what Jesus told his disciples in those last few moments before ascending to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, God's word says this. In the first book, this is Luke writing, his first book was Luke. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he'd chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them for 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." I want you to look back at that last verse. There's great news in the last verse. And I want us to understand that as we allow the gospel to flow through us the way that God's designed it to flow through us and to other people, that we have got everything we need. Everything that we need right there. And that's our first point this morning, that we've got all that we need. And I think I should tell you now that these points will come together to make one sentence at the end. I think it's a run-on sentence, but I think it all sort of smashes together. But that first one from these verses here is that we've got all we need, right? He's promised us the Holy Spirit. Now, at first, as you look at this, the disciples didn't. They didn't have all they needed, so Jesus told them to wait until the Holy Spirit came upon them. He didn't want them to try to do anything on their own. He didn't want them to go out and try to do anything apart from Him. Right, it's not their power. It's not their gifting. It's not their boldness. It's not their confidence. It's the power of God through the Holy Spirit working in and through them and working in and through us. God's Word teaches us now that after those first believers were there, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into us and fills us, and we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So while those disciples had to wait for the Holy Spirit, you and I don't have to wait. Once we trust Jesus Christ, we're empowered and equipped with everything that we need to do what God's called us to do. But even still, knowing that we've got the Holy Spirit working in us, knowing that the Holy Spirit is working through us, you ever feel a little bit nervous when you sit down to share the gospel with somebody? You ever feel a little nervous thinking about sitting down to share the gospel with somebody? I do. It's okay if you do. I think it's a very natural thing for us to do it. Knowing that God's given us all we need, knowing that God's equipped us, there's still that sense of nerves or that sense of anxiety as we begin to open our mouth and share the gospel with other people. And I think there's a reason for that. I think it's to keep us relying on Him. I think it's to remind us that we can't do this on our own, that we shouldn't do this on our own. Every time I get nervous when I sit down to share the gospel with somebody, it drives me back to the Lord in prayer. Every time I get nervous when I think about sitting down with a neighbor or a friend or someone out in the community and opening God's Word with them and pointing them to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, every time I get nervous thinking through that, it drives me back to the Lord in prayer. It makes me be fully dependent on Him. It makes me be fully dependent on what He says He's going to give to us. It makes me be fully dependent on the Holy Spirit working through me and not on anything that I know. Not on any words that might come out of my mouth, not on a personality or gift mix or anything else. When I'm nervous and when you're nervous, it makes us fully be dependent on Jesus Christ being at work in and through us. So if you're a follower of Christ this morning, trust me and know and understand that each and every one of us have all we need to be who God's called us to be. Right, we don't have to go to seminary to share the gospel with the people around us. We don't have to go to just one more life group class. We don't have to read one more book. We don't have to listen to one more song. We don't have to wait and have a few more questions answered. All of those are good things. Continue to do those things. Never stop growing. Never stop learning. But never use those things as an excuse to not do what God's called us to do. If we've trusted in Christ, if we are followers of Jesus, we've got all we need to be who we're called to be, right? That's our second point, to be who we're called to be. We have all we need to be who God has called us, who God has made us to be. Look in verse 6. It says this, "So when they had come together, they asked Him, 'Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And Jesus said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you.'" Right? That's all we need. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit working inside us. He's promised that to us to do what? Keep reading verse 8. "And you will be My witnesses." You've got the power to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Last night, we were reading John chapter 1 with our kids before bedtime in our prayer and Bible reading time, and the word witness is used in John chapter 1, and my 7-year-old said, "Well, what's a witness?" And so we had to slow down and explain it. And as we read this passage here, we're called to be witnesses. We said that God says that we are witnesses. We need to understand what that means, right? A witness is someone who tells other people what they've seen to verify that it's true. A witness is someone that shares what they've seen, what's happened. Listen, you and I witness things every single day. We see things all throughout the day. And if someone were to ask us what we witnessed, what are they asking for? They're asking for what we've seen. They're asking for our experience. They're asking for what we know. They want us to validate something as true. So now think about this in the context of the disciples. Jesus has just told them that they're going to be his witnesses. What did the disciples witness? Not everybody at once. They witnessed Jesus, right? I mean, they were with him for years. They heard Jesus teach. They saw him perform miracles. They saw him raise someone from the dead. They saw him raise from the dead, right? And they were with him, and they heard it, and they saw it. So when Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses, and he's saying, you're going to tell people about me. I mean, how, after all they'd been through, could they possibly keep that to themselves? It wasn't a safe message. It wasn't a popular message. Eventually, almost all of them would die for that message, but it was so good, right? And so valuable that they had to share with the people around them. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, Peter and John are there, and they're before a court that's trying to punish them. And they said, listen, you guys can't speak about the name of Jesus anymore. And you know what they said? They literally said, we can't help it. They said, we can't help but speak about what we've seen and what we've heard because it made such a profound impact on them. It changed everything about them. And they knew that if they were to share it with other people, it would change everything about them as well. They had news that was so good that they just couldn't keep it to themselves. You ever had news like that? You ever had news that you just had to share with someone? Of course you do. I'm on Facebook too. I see all the things that you post, right? We share stuff all the time, right? When good things happen, we want other people to know about it. Students, when you get a good grade on a test that your parents maybe have threatened you about or worked with you on, and you get it back, you text them right away and say, look what the grade that I got on my test. Moms and dads, if you don't get the text right away, there's a reason, right? We share good news when it comes in. If you have kids and they do something great, if they make a team or whatever, right? People post about it and they share that news with other people because it's so good, they don't want to keep it in. Some people maybe overshare a little bit. We can talk about that later, right? But when there's good news, we share about it. If something good happens at work, promotion or a raise or you complete a project or you seal a deal or whatever it is, you probably don't wait to tell people you care about. You probably text or call your spouse and say, great news, this is what happened, right? When good news happens, when we experience good things, there's this natural thing inside of us that draws us to a place of wanting to share it. We want to invite other people in to our excitement, in to our joy, into what God has done in us. I'm the same way. As I think about this series, as I think about who's your one and the people that God's placed in my life, my prayer for myself and my prayer for us as a church is that we would get excited about sharing the best thing in our lives. That we would get excited about sharing Jesus with everyone that we meet, everyone that we come in contact with. Listen, sharing that other stuff can make people happy, right? Sharing that other stuff can make people excited for us, but sharing Jesus with them can make them alive. Sharing Jesus with them can move them from death to life, an eternity separated from God to an eternity in the presence of God. Let's tell the story of Jesus. Let's be a witness. Let's let people know what he's done in our lives. Listen, people are doing it all over the place. There's some people, and you just look at their lives and you see, man, that's who I want to be. I want to do it the way that they're doing it. My grandmother had moved into an assisted living home just a couple of years ago. And as I was talking about it with her before she moved over in that new place to live, she was still doing okay on her own, but she was almost insistent that she was ready to go into that house now. And I asked her why and sort of what was going through her mind as she said it. You know what she said? She said, I'm ready to go now. While my mind and my body are sharp and I can still share the gospel with the people that are living around me. right, towards the end of her life perspective, knowing I've got to be a witness to the people that God's placed around me. A few weeks ago, I got a text message from a group of teenagers that go to our church saying, hey, we're inviting some of our lost friends down to our house. I lived just down the street from them. They said, we would love for you to come over and to talk and to answer questions. Listen, these are guys in their schools that are reaching out that see people that don't know Christ, bringing them into their home, willing to ask questions and to share the gospel with them as they go. One of our student life group teachers here, Ronald McDonald, not that Ronald McDonald, but Ronald McDonald, the junior life group teacher here at Champion Forest, is one of the best, the most natural at sharing the gospel with the people around him that I have ever met. If you know Ronald McDonald, you will not go anywhere with him in a hurry because he's going to talk to every person he sees about the good news of Jesus Christ. He's a witness, and all the time, he's able to see people move from death to life because of the way that God is flowing through him into the lives of other people as well. When we read Scripture and we see who we are as followers of Christ, we see that we're called to be witnesses, that we're called to tell the story, that we're called to share what Jesus has done in us, how he has changed us, and how he can change the people around us as well. We know we're called to be witnesses. The question becomes where? Where do we do this? How do we do this? How do we get the ball rolling? Well, look back in verse 8. You'll be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, right? That was sort of where they were. Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I think the answer to that question where is everywhere, right? Nothing is off limits. Everywhere we go, we have the ability to do this. We can share the gospel with people if we're focused on it, if we're thinking about it, if we're willing to be a witness for what Christ has done in our lives. So I think the question sort of naturally evolves to this, as to why don't we? Why don't we do that terribly often? I shared this sort of illustration with several people over the course of the week to see if their mind works the same way as my mind, because my mind doesn't always work right, I don't think, just to make sure that they understood it. And as I did, they understood that, yes, the gospel is supposed to flow through us to bring life to the people around us. But you know what almost every person said that I shared it with? They said they had something like this in their life. They were able to look at times and areas, and maybe even now in their life, where they said, you know what? There's something in the way. I know I'm a follower of Jesus, but as I look at my life, as I evaluate my relationships, I'm really not sharing what he's done in me with other people. Right? The gospel's flowed to me, but it stopped. And it hasn't gone on to the other people around me. There's something that's blocking up the flow. There's something keeping me from doing what Christ has called me to do. And if I just sort of take those conversations and think about us as a broader church, maybe as a whole, I think that maybe a lot of us could identify with that. That a lot of us would say, listen, I know I'm a believer, and I know that God's called me to do this, but there aren't too many times where I open my mouth and I share what Jesus has done in my life. There aren't too many times where I specifically and intentionally develop relationships with people with the hope and prayer that they would one day come to trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And just sort of thinking about that, I think that there's a lot of reasons maybe why that is for a lot of us that we don't share the gospel. But I think the number one reason is that we're just not thinking about it. We're just distracted. We've got so many things that we're focused on. We've got so many things that we're doing. We're running so fast in so many directions that we don't really slow down to think about, listen, in all those areas, all those avenues that God's placed us, he's called us to be a witness. Right? He's called us to share the good news of Jesus that we've got with the people around us. There's other reasons, too. There's times where we think, listen, I'm sort of an acquaintance with this person. I don't want to share the gospel with them, because it might sort of mess up our friendship. What if they don't accept Christ? What if they think that I'm weird? It's just going to be awkward in the carpool line now or something like that. We might think, you know what? They know me and they know where I've messed up. They know where I haven't been perfect. And so I feel like a hypocrite trying to share the gospel with them. Listen, we need the gospel because we're not perfect. Right? We need the gospel because of all the ways that we've messed up. The gospel is grace and forgiveness, and we can share it. Some people would say, you know what, I don't share the gospel too terribly often because I just don't know what to say. I don't feel equipped with all of the answers to all of the questions. all of these different things, preventing the flow of the gospel through us into the hearts and the lives of the people around us. Someone several years ago told me this as we were having a conversation, and I was just being honest and sort of confessing to him, listen, it's hard for me sometimes to share the gospel with people around me. And I gave him a list of reasons similar to what I just shared with you. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, Stephen, don't ever let your comfort get in the way of someone else's eternity. Don't let your comfort get in the way of someone else's eternity. And that convicted me, right? There were a lot of times I just wasn't having the conversation because I didn't want to feel uncomfortable. I didn't want it to be awkward. I didn't want to create this weird kind of situation. When he told me that, I realized it's not about my comfort. All right, it's about me doing what God's called me to do, what God's called and equipped each and every one of us to do. Listen, this afternoon, we're going to send thousands of witnesses out of here, right? Thousands of witnesses all over Houston. And just sort of looking around the room, I know the Garzas are going out as an army of witnesses to wherever it is that God sends them next. I know that the Allens are going out. I know the Ehlers are going out. I know the Johnsons are going out. Y'all are just some of the people that I make eye contact with as I look around, so I hope that's okay, right? I know that the student staff right here is going out. I know the Hudsons are going out, right? I know that Rebecca Patterson is going out. I know that we're going out of here as witnesses to do what God's called us to do. And he's sending us everywhere, and there's thousands of us. I want to show you my street, right? Just sort of thinking about this image, this illustration. There's my street. That's where I live. Don't wrap my house later. But that's where I live. And listen, there's witnesses all over my street. At the end of the street is the Stewart family, right? They're down there in the corner. They're there. I think that we got a picture of them, maybe. But they're at the end of the street, right? We've got on the other side of the street the Hamlin family, and they're witnesses. They love Jesus, and they're willing to go out and share the gospel as well. In the middle of the street, we've got the Flahertys, right? They're just a couple doors down from us. And then like two or three doors down, you've got my family. So four families right there on that one street that are witnesses for Jesus, that go to this church, that God has surrounded all the people that live on that street with people that love him, that should be motivated with a love for God and a love for other people to go out to be a witness, to share the gospel right where God's placed it. And guess what? Your street has a witness, has a missionary as well. You know who it is? Just sort of raise your hand. It's you, right? We're followers of Christ. That's where God's sending us. That's where God's placed it. Listen, we've got what we need to be who God's called us to be. Here's number three in my run-on sentence. Now let's change the world, right? We've got all we need to be who God's called us to be. Now let's change the world one person at a time. Don't think about the masses. Don't think about huge groups. Think about that one person that God's placed in your heart. Think about that one person that God's placed on your mind, and let's start praying for them and investing in them. Verse 9, look back to Acts chapter 1, says, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Sort of this concept of, okay, Jesus has gone back up into heaven. What are you going to do? Jesus has gone back into heaven. Are you going to do what he's called you to do? And I'll just say right now, thank God that they did. Right? They waited for the Holy Spirit. They were filled with power that comes only from him, only from God. And guess what they did next? They were witnesses. Right, they opened their mouth and they began to tell people what they had seen and what they had heard. And the people that they told other people, and it went on and on and on. And now 2,000 years later, we know. Because they were witnesses on the other side of the world a long, long time ago. Right, they were witnesses to everyone that they met, telling them the story of Jesus. And they went from hundreds of Christ followers to thousands to millions spread out all over the world. And if you take a look at our world right now, right, it's incredible to see how God is on the move. There are parts of Asia and Africa where God is moving and doing things that we have never seen before on those continents. People are being witnesses, and the gospel is moving from person to person faster than it ever has before. Churches are exploding. People are coming to Christ in record numbers in so many different parts of the world. Guys, God is on the move in a huge way. And that's something that we should celebrate, right? We should be excited about these people that are moving from death to life. We should do everything we can to support it, to encourage it, as people continue to place their faith and trust in Christ. But as we look closer to home, it's a little bit different. Whereas we look around the United States to sort of see what's going on here spiritually in the United States, that's not the case. Right? There's a lot of churches that seem to be shrinking a little bit. There's a lot of churches that you can sort of get the report every week and see different churches that have had to close their doors because people are no longer attending. They're no longer coming. It makes you ask why. Why is that happening to so many people close to us, to so many churches close to us? And I think that at the end of the day, it's that we're not being who God's called us to be. Right? That followers of Christ aren't being witnesses about Christ to the people that God's placed in their lives. You know, some of these updated stats, less than 5% of believers will ever lead someone else to Christ. Right? Less than 5% of believers will ever be a witness in a way, in a relationship with somebody else, where they're able to see another person in their life place their faith and trust in Christ. Guys, that's not okay. That's not good. Less than 15% will ever invite someone else to church. We're called to be witnesses, right? We're called to share what God has done in our hearts and in our lives with the people around us. Too many Christ followers aren't focused on telling the story. For too many, it stops and doesn't flow through them to the people that God's placed around them. Can I just ask us a question? Can we change that? Right? Can we commit to living a little bit differently than that? Can we commit to being who God's called us to be, allowing the gospel to flow through us to bring life to the people around us? Can we commit to seeing people come to know Christ, praying for and investing in our friends and our family members and our neighbors to see their lives and their eternities changed forever? Right, do me a favor, look around the room for a minute. Okay, you can turn your head, it's okay. Look around the room, and I want you to put your eye on one empty seat, right? Not a row, not a section, put your eye on one empty seat, right? Find that seat, that's your seat, don't move, just find it with your eye. Right? And we're going to pray right now, just sort of in the middle of the message, what we're getting close to, but I want to pray for a second, right? And pray a prayer sort of similar to this. This is between you and the Lord. Pray something along the lines of, God, please flow through me. Please let the good news of Jesus flow through me. Say the name of your one, or say your office, or your school, or where you, whatever. Please flow through me too, and then fill in the blank. Ask God to help them place their faith and trust in Him. Ask God to radically change their life. Ask God to flow through you in a way that brings life to the people around you. And ask God to help you, encourage them, and equip them to bring them in to our church family. God, we're trusting you with that. In your name we pray, amen. All right, now let's own it. All right, that's your seat. Every week when you come in here, look at your seat. Let's own it. Let's invest in other people to see them place their faith and trust in Christ and get connected to the body. Listen, we have all we need to be who we're made to be so that we can change the world one person at a time. Who's your one? Who's your one? Who's the person that God's placed in your life? Listen, I hope right now that your heart's pounding a little bit. I hope right now you feel a little bit of nervousness, a little bit of anxiousness, knowing what God's called us to do, knowing that God's equipping us, mobilizing us, sending us out to have these conversations, to have these relationships, to make these investments, and ultimately to be a witness. You might be thinking, okay, I'm in. I've got my one. I've been thinking through their name. I know who I'm going to write down. I know who I'm going to pray for. I know who I'm going to invest in. Just tell me how. Right, where do I start? Well, that's a good question, right? I think that everyone does better with tracks to run on or with a plan. I'm sure there's a science sort of thing on that, right? But we all do better with tracks to run on. So here's a few things that I'm asking us to do this morning. Write these down, if you will. Write down if you've got them already. If you don't, you can take a little bit more time on this. But my prayer is before you go to sleep tonight that you've written down your one on the top of the bookmark. You can sort of tear it off and then write your name down right there. Get your one, write down their name, and start praying. If you've got it already, you can go ahead and write it down right now and begin praying for the person that God's placed on your mind. Every day, every time God brings them to your mind, begin praying for that person. And listen, here's a reminder. That person is not a project, right? That person is a person made in the image of God, just like you and I are made in the image of God. That person is someone who in their sin is separated from Christ, just like if we're in our sin, we are separated from Christ. That person is someone that needs Jesus the same way that you and I need Jesus. So let's pray for that person, that God would move in their life in a powerful way. Years ago, we did a series sort of like this. I talked to one of our church members about it a few weeks ago, and he said, you know what? I actually wrote down my person on the little bookmark that y'all gave us then. He was a completely different faith, a different religion when I wrote his name on and began to engage him with the gospel. And over time, that person placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ because they were intentional to write it down and to have the conversations and to allow God to flow through them into hearts and lives of others as well. So write that person down and let's be very, very intentional. You'll see on the bottom of the bookmark, the second thing that I'm going to ask all of us to do is this. There's some scripture that goes with this for the next 30 days where we can lock into God's word, right? So pull it out every day and read and pray these verses over the name of the person that you wrote down. Pray these verses over your relationship. Ask God to move through his word into their heart and in their life as well. If you're not a paper person, there's a YouVersion Bible reading plan that goes with this that I think should be up on our Facebook page and social media sites. You can go get that now to begin reading through God's word and praying over the people that God's placed in your life. A third thing that we can and maybe should all do, write out your testimony, right? Just write out your story. It's very simple. When I was 13, I knew a lot about God, but I didn't know God. I hadn't placed my faith and trust in him, and when I was 13, God convicted me, and I knew that my sin had separated me from him. I had to place my faith and trust in him as Lord and Savior, and I did, and in that moment, God's word says that I became a child of God. Write it out and share it with someone this week. Parents, if you've never shared your testimony with your kids, share it with them this week, right? Say, hey, you know what? You know I'm a believer. We're at church every Sunday morning, but let me tell you about the time where God got a hold of my heart and I became a follower of Christ. Have your kids share back with you. And I would imagine that there will be some parents this week as they share their story with their kids that have the honor and the privilege of leading their kids to Christ as well. Share your story with other people this week. And then here's the last thing, and we're going to wrap it up. God's given you that name, that person, right? Hopefully that person that's on your heart, that person that's in your mind. And don't be weird about this, but send them a text or an email or something this week, right? Just say, hey, so thankful for all you do in my life. Thankful for the way that you encourage me. Let it be anything, right? You're not typing out the gospel in the Roman road in your text message or anything, but just to make contact with them, right? Some kind of way to reach out to begin to open the door of that relationship just a little bit more, or down the road, God might open that door for you to share the gospel with them. Something simple, something easy. I appreciate you. Thanks for all you do for me. Always encouraged by our time together. Something quick, something simple, something easy, but reach out to them and allow God to begin building that bridge for us to connect with the people around us, right? As I think through this, as I dream about this, as I pray through this, I'm praying that God would flow through us in ways like he never has before as a church, right? I'm praying that God would work in your heart, that God would work through your life. I'm praying that God would flow through you, and I'm praying that you, right? Yes, you, each and every one of us would have the opportunity and the privilege to lead people around us into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm praying that God would root around in our hearts and our lives, that he would remove anything in us, any fear, any anxiety, any excuses, anything that's blocking us or preventing us from doing that, and that God would flow naturally through us to the people around us as we are the witnesses that God has called each and every one of us to be. I'm praying in these next several weeks that we'd be able to celebrate with you as God moves in the lives of the people around you. I'm praying that we'd be able to celebrate as you get to watch people that you've invested in and led to Christ get baptized. I'm praying that we get to celebrate you with you as they join in your life group classes and in community as they begin to grow and lead other people to Christ as well. Think about the impact. Think about the impact if every person in this room was a witness. If every person in this room had that one person that they were reaching out to. If every person in this room, there's an alarm going off. It's time for us to go do it right now, right? That's our cue. We are sent out to go and do this. Look, thousands of us would have the opportunity to make such a big impact if we would all focus. Hold on. Okay, mine's off. Thousands of us, listen, would have the opportunity to make an eternal impact on generations all over the world if we would all focus on one. Don't get caught up on the millions. Don't get caught up on the masses. Don't get caught up on the neighborhood. Focus on one. Allow God to flow through you in a powerful way to see the move from death to life, to see our eternities changed forever. Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.